én kofferidem, és ne zsáj. Mert én számom stámi, majd tiszte dolgok, hogy nékene. Tom, de alig szó rájta, pár tőle rájtani. Én ezt perintem, pár fremrátam, pár mégis. Pár tőle zagléna, zagléna, madonna, én osva.
Riz.
Én vi palnék, mlát, mlát, én tot is szív. Szív, ne tá němské občany, ten černý batom. Prav tista prava volba. Krásný.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiju Študent.
Socialno podjetništvo, Feniks samoupravljanja na pogorišču med javnim in zasebnim sektorjem ekonomije. Kontinentalna tradicija socialne države je vse bolj razpeta med precepom, ki ga na eni strani ustvarja ekonomija zasebnega sektorja, ki jo vodi izključno profitni motiv, na drugi strani pa še vedno vse prisoten javni sektor. Ta se je v zadnjih letih in desetletjih vse bolj privatiziral zaradi pritiska neoliberalnih reform. Vlogo varuha socialne države pa je sedaj nase prevzela Evropska unija, ki želi ponovno najti ravnovesje med obema vejama ekonomije. Rešitev iščejo v spodbujanju tretjega sektorja, imenovanega socialno podjetništvo ali socialna ekonomija, ki bi združeval lastnosti tako javnega kot zasebnega. Po eni strani bi zajemal komercialno učinkovitost zasebnega sektorja ekonomije, po drugi bi bil podvržen državnim regulacijam, ki bi določale plačna razmerja med delavci in upravo, sama podjetja pa bi upenjala v lokalno okolje. Tako bi se hkrati izognili profitnemu motivu, ki korporacije za prgišče milijonov seli k ceneni delovni sili, podjetjem pa bi še vedno omogočili avtonomijo samoupravljanja in delovanja na prostem trgu. S tem bi uspešno preprečili protislovja poskusov centralnega planiranja ekonomije, ki se doslej niso obnesli v socialističnih eksperimentih. Zato je Inštitut Novum sredi aprila organiziral konferenco o socialnem podjetništvu, ki bi lahko postalo vektor sprememb, s katerimi bi se Evropa izvlekla iz gospodarske krize in ustvarila kvalitetna delovna mesta. Delavci bi dobili besedo pri upravljanju podjetij, v katerih so zaposleni, s formulo en član, en glas, pa bi se proces odločanja izvajal preko strukture, značilne za predstavniške demokracije. Na konferenci je bil izpostavljen primer korporacije Mondragon, ki deluje in se širi že od leta 1956. Pri tem pa ostaja zvesta svojemu rodnemu mestu Mondragon v baskovski Španiji. Svoj pristop do upravljanja podjetja nam je razložil Mikel Lezamis, direktor za širjenje kooperativ v omenjeni korporaciji.
In these cooperatives, they set up at least once a year the General Assembly, and for example, in the Fagor domestic appliances, that is the that they are 3,000 people. 3,000 people goes to the General Assembly, and they make the most important decision, because they are the owners, and it's one people, one vote. The general manager or the president has one vote, and the technician has one vote, and blue collar workers has one vote. That is the democracy, democratic philosophy, and that is the way that we are taking decision. But this is once a year, only once a year, or sometimes twice a year, the General Assembly. But in the every month, we set up the governing council meeting that is chosen 12 people, for example, in this big company, 12 people, president, vice president, secretary, and the others, they are chosen by the General Assembly in order to make the decision every month or every 2 weeks, but mostly every month. And after that, this General Council, this Governing Council, sorry, choose the CEO, the General Manager, in order to execute all the decisions that is made it in the Governing Council, and also in order to make all the proposals to open a new market or to make this investment, because the CEO, together with his or her managers, financial manager, production manager, marketing managers, people manager, these people, they propose, and it's the Governing Council who makes the decision every month. And after that, again, the CEO and this manager has to execute all the decisions that is made it in the Governing Council.
Lesamis poudarja, da kooperative delujejo le, če so finančno in politično neodvisne od zunanjih dejavnikov. Na predavanju je izpostavil, da so finančno krizo uspešno prebrodili predvsem zaradi svoje samostojnosti in velikosti, ki jim je omogočala, da so presežno delovno silo premeščali med kooperativami. Lesamis sicer podpira financiranje strani Evropskega socialnega sklada v primeru podjetij, ki rabijo zagonski kapital. Vendar poudarja, da se morajo ta podjetja od teh virov sčasoma osamosvojiti, če želijo obstati na trgu.
We always were free from the government, Basque government and also the Spanish government, and also we are neutral speaking about the political parties or religious parties. And in this case we think that being free to decide our future is very important, because we in cooperatives the people who are working in that cooperatives has to make the decision of the future. We are the owner of our future, of course, according with the economical situation and with the market also. And we think that it's a very important issue in order to have the possibility to say, yes, okay, I agree with you or no, or to decide to open a new market or to open a new product or to open a new building. And we think that is very important issue in the case of cooperatives. Cooperatives should be neutral and should be free to decide the future.
Korporacija Mondragon je zagotovo resna alternativa trenutni ekonomiji javnega in zasebnega sektorja. Zanjo je mogoče reči, da pokriva velik del panog gospodarstva, ki segajo vse od pridelave hrane, izdelave potrošniških in industrijskih izdelkov, pa vse do financ in izobraževanja. Drugi primeri dobrih praks, predstavljeni na konferenci, so bili relativno omejeni na integracijo delovne sile na trg dela, pri čemer se osredotočajo predvsem na marginalno delovno silo, predvsem invalide, etnične manjšine in odvisnike od drog. Svoj del publicitete pa je dobil tudi kuhar in podjetnik Jamie Oliver, katerega socialni projekt 15 je predstavil njegov bivši pomočnik Danny McCubbin. Jamieve kulinarične inovacije je po koncu konference degustiral tudi avtor prispevka, ki je v somraku sveč pričakoval žlahten kos temne čokolade, zagrizel pa v rdečo peso. Za orientacijo na zemljevidu politične ekonomije se bomo oprli na buržoaznega ekonomista Josepha Schumpetra. Njegov koncept podjetnika je v svojo vizijo zajela Lizbonska strategija Evropske unije, nanj pa se radi sklicujejo tudi neoliberalistični trendi. Oboji sicer ustrajno pozabljajo na Schumpetrov konzervativni zagovor zlatega standarda, ki po njegovih besedah javno porabo vlad in državnih birokracij omejuje veliko bolj učinkovito kot parlamentarna kritika. Hkrati pa je predpogoj za buržoazni liberalizem in laissez-faire. Schumpeter je marksističnima kategorijama kapitalista in proletarca dodal še podjetnika. V tem je prepoznal tistega, ki uresničuje ameriške sanje in tako tvori politični konsenz o pravičnosti kapitalizma. Vendar je že leta 1942 napovedal, da bodo nadaljne tehnološke inovacije vse bolj rezultat dela velikih skupin ljudi, ki se bodo organizirale znotraj korporacij. Te bodo zaradi svojega monopola nad razvojem začele pridobivati vse večji tržni delež in iz njega izrivati mlada in mala podjetja srednjega sloja. Koncentracija lastništva se bo večala, zato bo podjetni srednji sloj vse bolj sovražen do kapitalistične ureditve. V tem je prepoznal protislovje kapitalizma, ki uničuje svoje podpornike. Protislovje bodo odpravili delavski prevzemi podjetij, ki bodo uvedli obliko socialističnega samoupravljanja. Schumpetrov model sta na primeru Švedske uporabila ekonomista Magnus Henriksson in Ulf Jakobsson. Opazila sta, da mu Švedska sledi vse od leta 1980, ko ga zaradi velikega dotoka zunanjih kreditov opusti. Hkrati organizacija za gospodarsko sodelovanje in razvoj OECD uvede niz deregulacij, ki so domnevno razbile monopol velikih korporacij in tako sprostile prostor za razcvet majhnih podjetij. Podobne ekonomske reforme v ZDA uvede nekdani filmski igralec in ameriški predsednik Ronald Reagan. Njegov paket vladnih deregulacij postane znan kot Reaganomics. Pospremi pa ga z besedami, da smo preživeli čas velikega biznisa in velikih korporacij. Zato meni, da nova doba pripada podjetniku. Reaganomicsu je v 80-ih sicer uspelo ustvariti dovolj poslovnih priložnosti za majhne podjetnike, vendar smo sedaj, 30 letja kasneje, obtičali z istimi sistemskimi problemi. Trend koncentriranja lastništva in večanja velikosti povprečnega podjetja avtorja Henriksson in Jakobsson opažata tudi danes, vendar centralno-planski socializem tokrat ni na seznamu alternativ. Kaj to pomeni za Slovenijo? Verjetno ni potrebno navajati očitnega, da slovensko gospodarstvo malih podjetij se stoji iz množice podizvajalcev, ki od velikih magnatov ne upajo niti iztožiti spoštovanja plačilnih rokov, zapisanih v pogodbi. Kriza je obrtno zbornico Slovenije že pripeljala do vzklikov po državljanski nepokorščini in umikanju depozitov iz bank. Za obstoj kapitalizma je zato nujno potrebno, da državljane srednjega sloja ponovno upne v ekonomijo, kjer bodo imeli možnost ustvarjanja družbenega bogastva in z njim političnega konsenza. Vlogo tega povezovalca bi v politični ekonomiji lahko odigralo socialno podjetništvo. Vendar se na primeru Slovenije ne moremo izogniti vlečenju vzporednic s socialističnim samoupravljanjem. Tega se kmečka pamet še spomni kot zavajanje delavcev strani komunističnih aparatčikov. Analogija je seveda le delno pravilna, saj so samoupravna podjetja proizvajala industrijske dobrine v planski ekonomiji. Realnost socialne ekonomije je omejena na proizvodnjo hrane, večina pa je bo obstajala le v sektorju storitev. Vendar pregled evropskih politik in zakonov, ki jih sprejemajo države članice, hitro pokaže, da imajo zadnje pri tem precej proste roke. Arhitekti trga dela v Sloveniji razumejo socialno podjetništvo kot koncept, ki bo razvojni naslednik invalidnih podjetij. Po njegovem modelu pa bodo preobrazili tudi javna dela, ki potekajo na Zavodu za zaposlovanje. Več sredstev, ki bodo pritekla iz evropskih skladov, bo javnim delom omogočalo daljši časovni razpon zaposlovanja in verjetno celo redne zaposlitve. To je na konferenci potrdila Damjana Košir, generalna direktorica Direktorata za trg dela in zaposlovanje pri Ministrstvu za delo, družino in socialne zadeve.
No, nekoliko več bi rada spregovorila še o javnih delih, kajti javna dela so en od programov v Sloveniji, s katerim imamo pravzaprav že dolgo tradicijo, 20 let bo letos, kar se izvaja javna dela. In ta program, mislim, da je od enih tistih, ki ima pravzaprav neke zametke, nekega socialnega podjetništva. Zato ravno razmišljamo o tem, da bi se del teh javnih del od leta 2012 naprej nekak z mogoče malo specifično podporo v smeru v to smer razvoja socialnega podjetništva. Zelo pomembno pri teh javnih delih je tudi to, da je to edini ukrep aktivne politike zaposlovanja, kjer tudi sofinancirajo ta program lokalne skupnosti. In prepričana sem, da tudi pri uspešnem razvoju socialnega podjetništva je zelo pomembna ta posluh in pa tudi, bom rekla, finančno sodelovanje na nivoju lokalnih skupnosti.
Javna dela se sicer financirajo iz javne porabe, to pa je v ekonomiji vroč kostan. V sistemu papirnatega standarda država financira javno porabo z davki ali pa z ustvarjanjem novega denarja, kar v praksi pomeni davke, ki bodo šele morali biti pobrani. Zato smo strokovnjaka za socialno podjetništvo Maksimiljana Martina vprašali, ali je smiselno zagnati socialno ekonomijo, sredstvi javne porabe, pri tem pa ostati negotovi, ali bodo storitve kdaj postale komercialno uspešne in evropskemu proračunu vrnile kak investiran evro.
Well, I think the issue is the following. When you look at the innovation cycle, normally, you need to have some money that is grant fund. I mean, it's either a private subsidy, which is philanthropy, or a public subsidy, which is, you know, government incentives. Anyway, because some of the money that you need to deploy at the beginning to create a cluster, a social enterprise or entrepreneurship cluster, will be gone. I mean, it will not immediately generate revenues. So in principle, yes. The question is then, how do you structure that? Because of course there is some kind of contradiction. On the one hand, we're saying we want more social entrepreneurship, but at the same time, we're funding it through government. So we're saying we want more private initiative working on social things, and then we fund it through a government vehicle. It could be a contradiction. The question is, how do you structure it? What I've seen, what works in other countries is, for example, that you create an innovation fund. So this money is actually treated, I would say, almost like private sector money. So what you could do is, depending on the volumes that you allocate, you could have part of it earmarked as a basically a grant fund for social innovation, so that certain investments or certain expenditures that need to be made can be done, but there's an applications process. It's not just any way of allocating capital. And you also create a for-profit social innovation fund, where you basically make loans to social enterprises, where you may even take equity positions, not so much because you expect a huge financial return, but you want to introduce this kind of mechanism and in the country. So the short answer to your question is yes, it can make sense, but it needs to be structured very carefully so that it does not crowd out the underlying incentive, which is a private initiative to solve social issues. But the answer is yes, yes, it can be done.
Slovensko zakonodajo in različne tipe socialnih podjetij v našem prostoru je predstavil poslanec stranke Zares Tadej Slapnik, ki je tudi sodeloval pri pisanju zakona.
Prihajamo že do bistvene ločitve dveh tipov podjetij, to je tip A podjetij, torej tista, ki bodo izvajala dejavnosti socialnega podjetništva, ki so zakonsko definirane kot družbeno koristne. Ter tip B podjetij, ki ni zapisano, da bi morali izvajati točno določene tovrstne dejavnosti, ampak svoj družbeno koristni značaj in s tem značaj socialnega podjetja dobijo, koliko zaposlujejo težje zaposljive osebe, se pravi tip A in tip B. Sicer pa so načela, po katerih zakon predvideva, da naj bi poslovala socialna podjetja, naslednja. Pričakuje se, da so ustanovljena in da delujejo na podlagi zasebne pobude za ustanovitev, na nepridobitni in za socialni namenom ustanovitve, da delujejo na prostovoljni bazi, da so tržno naravnana, zelo pomembno, da vključujejo v svoje delo tudi prostovoljno delo, da delujejo na bazi enakopravnega članstva, da vključujejo zaposlene pri upravljanju podjetij, ter da je njihovo samo poslovanje, kar se da pregledno in transparentno.
Zaradi kočljivega položaja, v katerega je zadnje čase ujet evro, smo Maksimiljana Martina vprašali, ali obstaja možnost, da se socialna podjetja izpojejo v fast food ekonomijo, ki je poslovanje omogočeno zaradi nenehnih injekcij javne porabe, delavci zaposleni v njej pa si svojo urno postavko ne morejo privoščiti storitve, ki jo opravljajo.
I think this is not the best definition of social entrepreneurship. If you define social entrepreneurship as an innovative way to solve social problems in scale through business methods, then you're not stuck with the model of the fast food worker. Because then what we're talking about is creating a cluster where people have innovative ideas, for example, to deal with an aging population, with unemployment, with reinsertion of prisoners, for example, can get some funding so that they can pilot this and scale this. And on the contrary, this is actually not, doesn't create fast food type of jobs, it actually creates very attractive jobs and models where Slovenia could actually build some expertise and you could even export these models. What you have to see, the unique opportunity here is that the country is small. On the one hand, it's a challenge, that's correct, but it is also an opportunity because it means you can, if you do something well, you can govern the market more quickly, and even the government is obviously closer to its citizens because it's a smaller entity that it manages, so it can actually be much more responsive. But it requires, of course, the right kind of, in a sense, approach to social entrepreneurship. It is true that a part of social enterprise is essentially the non-profit sector providing public goods, providing social services, whereas another part is much more, I would say, transformational. Now, but even in that area of social services, let me just give you one example that I was involved with, something called the social impact bond in the United Kingdom. In the United Kingdom, you have the situation that on the one hand, under 21-year-olds who come to prison for the first time and serve a sentence of less than a year, 92% of them will reoffend within 1 year after having been released. And that, of course, is negative for them, and it's negative for society and very costly because they're in the security apparatus again. At the same time, the government did not have a structured focus on reinsertion, reintegration, and prevention. NGOs were working on these things. But, of course, it's much cheaper, and there's some studies that indicate in the UK, £1 invested in prevention and reintegration, in this case, actually saves £10 down the line. And nevertheless, the government never had a structured approach to dealing with this. Now, a group of private investors came along and said, well, it is risky to try out new approaches. We understand that. But some NGOs are better than others at reintegration. They don't have enough capital. Why don't we provide some of this capital? We work with these organizations, do capacity building as well, not just providing working capital. If they do really well, well, they will be better. At, they will reduce the reinsertion rate. Now then, the government and ultimately the taxpayers saves a lot of money. Wouldn't it be correct to say, well, why don't we give back a part of the savings to the people who put up the risk capital at the beginning, to the social investors? This model now works. It took several years to get it in place. There's a pilot now underway in a prison in Cambridgeshire with 3,000 prisoners. And in fact, the Obama administration just decided to allocate $100 million to so-called bonds for success. So to exactly this model where you say, let the private and the social sector together try a new solution. If it works, we will save money, the taxpayer will save money, we'll give back some of these savings. And you know, in a smaller country, you could pilot these things much more easily in principle. So it's actually very exciting. So I think what Slovenia should do is think through where does it have comparative advantage. It has comparative advantage because of its geographical location, because of its size, and if you then create the right kinds of incentives and pilot, and understand you need to pilot, then you're not stuck with the fast food jobs. On the contrary, you create actually knowledge-intensive social service jobs because it's about innovation. And ultimately, Slovenia and Europe, if we want to compete in the global economy, we have to be more innovative. And this is an opportunity to bring innovation and performance orientation into the social sector.
Njegov optimizem deli Le Samis iz korporacije Mandragon. Meni, da so socialna podjetja prihodnost, ki bo sčasoma postala globalni standard.
I think that it's possible to create all over the world this kind of social entrepreneurship and in fact this kind of cooperative worker-owner cooperatives, because we believe that worker cooperatives has better possibilities than the other companies, because in the other companies people are not very concerned, are not very involved in the project, and in this case you have you work, you do a work and you get a salary. But in our case we have to tighten the belt when the economic crisis is not so good, and also we have to be very involved in the projects, and we have to manage much better than the others in order to be alive. And I think that is possible all over the world, and I believe that in Slovenia it will be possible to create not only agricultural cooperatives, because there are some agriculture cooperatives, but why not worker-owner cooperatives, industrial cooperatives, services cooperatives, because all over the world there are this kind of companies, smaller or bigger. Probably the most important things in our case is also that we are all together working in order to have more synergy and economy of scale. If we are not working together, probably we don't have the power that we have being alone.
Socialna ekonomija je zagotovo poskus, ki bo dal zanimive rezultate, a pri tem je omejen predvsem z različnim pojmovanjem evropskih direktiv na ravni držav članic. Zaradi tega članice tudi ne morejo kandidirati na direktnih razpisih Evropskega socialnega sklada. Ta sredstva povsod razdeljujejo nacionalne države, ki pa so, kot v primeru Slovenije, nagnjene k temu, da ta denar porabijo v že obstoječih projektih. Duhu časa med ekonomskimi valovi je sledil Luka T. Tonin montaža Linč, brala sem Valerija.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, pa te samostane, imamo tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa tre vrata, ne. In jaz prijem tam, pa prema vrata, pa ne vidiš. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna enošo.
Res.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in to je siv. Siv, ne ta nemški občaj, črn pa to ne. Prav tista prava volk. Krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiu Študent.